The core message is simple. Your first sprint triathlon is absolutely within reach if you train smart, stay structured, and focus on consistency, rather than trying to overwhelm yourself with excessive hours or expensive gear. A sprint triathlon is made up of a 750-meter swim, a 20-kilometer bike ride, and a 5-kilometer run. The distances are real, but they are not impossible for a beginner with the right plan. A lot of first-time athletes walk in thinking they do not have the time, the fitness, or the experience. The reality is that around 4 to 5 hours of training per week, over roughly 12 weeks, is often enough to prepare you properly for race day. The main training principle is progression. You build a base first through consistent, lower-intensity effort, and then you add volume and intensity in a controlled way. That is how you create fitness without destroying yourself. Base training should last at least 4 weeks, and you will often see better results when that base extends to 8 or 12 weeks. The goal is to make your body comfortable with the training load before you start asking it for more. Your training should also be guided by goals that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Vague goals do not build good training plans. Clear goals do. For example, instead of saying, "I want to swim better," you might target a specific 100-meter time, track your heart rate or pace, and set a clear date by which you want to see improvement. That gives your training direction. A practical weekly schedule can include 2 swim sessions, 2 bike workouts, 2 runs, and 1 recovery day. That gives you enough exposure to all 3 sports without trying to do everything at once. One of those runs should be done after a bike workout. That is a brick session, and it helps your legs adapt to the transition from cycling to running, which is where a lot of first-timers feel the shock of race day. When it comes to training volume, increase it by no more than about 10% per week. That is a simple rule, but it prevents a lot of overuse problems and keeps your body responding positively to the work. Before race day, you should have completed at least 10% more distance in each sport than the race distance. That does not mean you need to do the full race distance repeatedly, but you do need enough exposure to feel comfortable. Consistency, sleep, nutrition, and realistic scheduling matter far more than a few sporadic, intense sessions. You are building a training pattern, not chasing one heroic workout. The 12-week plan breaks into 3 phases. Weeks 1 through 4 are the foundation phase. That is where you focus on swim technique, base endurance cycling, form-focused running, and core strength. Weeks 5 through 8 increase the volume and introduce sport-specific power. You start adding short, high-intensity intervals and tempo work near lactate threshold, so the training becomes sharper and more race-relevant. Weeks 9 through 12 are the race-ready phase. Volume peaks, intensity increases, and you start practicing race day nutrition, equipment, and conditions. This is where the plan starts to feel like a real race rehearsal. One key rule in the final weeks is to avoid new gear or nutrition experiments close to race day. If it has not been tested, it does not go on race day. You want reliability, not surprises. Technique matters more than raw effort in all 3 sports. You can work hard and still swim, bike, and run inefficiently. Good form makes you faster, easier, and more sustainable. In swimming, poor body position can greatly reduce efficiency. A small drop in elbow position can reduce swimming power by up to 30%, which is a huge cost over a 750-meter swim. Swimmers should keep the head low, breathe by turning the chin toward the shoulder, keep 1 goggle in the water, and focus on float and spine alignment. That helps prevent the legs from sinking and keeps the body moving forward. In cycling, safety and efficiency are essential. Check your brakes, with the left hand controlling the front brake and the right hand controlling the rear brake. That is a simple, consistent habit that keeps you in control. Riders should look through corners, shift before they need to, avoid cross-chaining, and aim for a cadence around 90 to 100 revolutions per minute. Smooth, efficient pedaling is more valuable than grinding at a low cadence. In running, many runners land too far ahead of their center of gravity. That creates braking forces and increases impact. Better form includes relaxed shoulders, arms bent near 90 degrees, smooth hip rotation, and feet landing under the body. Elite runners often maintain a cadence of 160 to 180 steps per minute, and beginners can build cadence gradually. You do not need to jump there overnight, but you should start moving toward a quicker, lighter, more efficient stride. Nutrition and hydration are critical. Even a 2% drop in hydration can meaningfully reduce performance, so this is not an optional part of training. It is part of the plan. Carbohydrates are the main fuel source for endurance training and racing. In general, athletes should aim for about 6 to 9 grams per kilogram of body weight per day, depending on training load and goals. For training sessions longer than 2 hours, carbohydrates should make up about 60% of total calories. That keeps your body fueled and helps you train with quality instead of fading late in the session. Before training, athletes should consume 1 to 4 grams of carbohydrates per kilogram of body weight 1 to 4 hours ahead of the session. The timing and amount depend on the intensity, duration, and your personal tolerance. During exercise, intake should be about 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour for sessions lasting 1 to 2.5 hours, and 60 to 90 grams per hour for longer efforts. The longer the session, the more fuel you need to support it. After training, the body needs rapid recovery, especially carbohydrates and protein. A practical post-workout target is about half a gram of carbohydrates per pound of body weight, plus 15 to 20 grams of protein within 30 to 60 minutes. Daily protein needs are roughly 1.4 to 2 grams per kilogram. That supports training adaptation, recovery, and maintaining muscle while you are building endurance. Hydration needs vary with conditions. Daily needs are about 3.7 liters for men and 2.7 liters for women, though individual needs differ based on body size, sweat rate, and environment. On race day, athletes may need about 500 milliliters per hour in cool weather, up to 750 milliliters in warm conditions, and possibly 1 liter per hour in hot, humid races. Heat changes the equation, so you need to plan for it. Urine color should be pale yellow, and sodium intake may need to range from 200 to 1000 milligrams per hour, depending on sweat rate. This is where personal testing and experience matter, because hydration is not one size fits all. Alcohol should be avoided during training, because it disrupts hydration and recovery. It does not fix what training does to your body, and it can undo a lot of the adaptation you are trying to build. Common mistakes include overtraining, poor recovery, and equipment errors. A lot of first-time athletes make the same mistakes, and they are usually preventable. Many athletes increase volume too quickly, leading to fatigue, declining performance, soreness, low motivation, and sometimes illness or injury. Progression is not optional. It is the foundation of good training. High-intensity workouts should be limited to about 2 or 3 per week, with 48 hours of lower-intensity effort between them. You need contrast, not constant stress. A recovery week should occur every 3rd or 4th week, with volume reduced by about 20%. That is not a sign of weakness. It is how you absorb the training and come back sharper. Sleep is also essential. Consistently getting less than 7 hours can significantly reduce performance, mood, and recovery. If you want to train well, you have to protect your sleep. Equipment should be functional, safe, and tested. You do not need the most expensive gear, but you do need gear that works and that you are comfortable with. Essential beginner gear includes a properly fitting helmet, reliable goggles, appropriate running shoes, a safe bike, and comfortable tri-shorts or a tri-suit. That is the foundation of a good start. A wetsuit is only necessary if water temperatures are below 72 degrees Fahrenheit. If the water is warmer, you can often swim comfortably without one, and that keeps things simpler. Beginners do not need elite equipment. Entry-level road bikes can range from $1,500 to $3,000. Quality goggles can cost $16 to $20, and basic tri-suits can start around $40. You can build a solid setup without overspending. Used gear can be a good option, especially for bikes and wetsuits. However, helmets and running shoes should generally be new for safety and performance. Those are the items where you do not want to cut corners. Many race day equipment problems come from using untested gear. Practice with your race equipment, learn basic bike maintenance, and make sure you know how your setup works before you need it under pressure. The key takeaway is that success in a first triathlon comes from a structured 12-week plan, proper technique, realistic progression, good nutrition, adequate recovery, and reliable equipment. Athletes who follow a planned approach, avoid common mistakes, and trust the process are far more likely to finish their first race successfully. That is the message. Train smart, stay consistent, and let the plan do the work.